Well, we are currently in a sermon series we're calling The Summer of Stop. It's a sermon series where we are looking at all those different parts in our life that we need to stop in order to live the life God desires for us to live. What needs to fall away from your daily practice so that you can live abundantly? Well, if you were with us last week when we began the sermon series, we talked about stopping cynicism. That negativity that you can feel where everything feels like it is going wrong and you forget that God still has a plan and is still at work in the world. And this week we come to a different sermon where we are talking about not stopping cynicism, but stopping the act of comparing. That moment when you lift your life up and compare it to someone else and realize that it does not measure up. We're going to look at this topic once more, but before we do, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter, and we are your clay. Amen. Well, a British author by the name of Neil Gaiman tells the story of being invited to a prestigious dinner party one evening where many famous artists and scientists were gathering to celebrate their various accomplishments and accolades. Now, even though Gaiman had already won many awards for his writing, he admitted that he felt completely unqualified to be part of such an event. He had no idea why he had received an invitation. I mean, to be surrounded by such inspired minds made him feel like some kind of imposter. And it turns out he was not the only one. You see, during the evening, Gaiman said he struck up a conversation with an elderly gentleman who said he also did not feel worthy of the invitation to be part of such a gathering. The older man said to Gaiman this. He said, you know, I just look at all these people all around me, and I think, what the heck am I doing here? I mean, they've done amazing things. They've accomplished amazing things. I just went where I was sent. I mean, how did I get an invitation to such a gathering? Gaiman said he bent over to read the elderly man's name tag. And the name tag read, Neil Armstrong. Now, how on earth, pardon the pun, but how on earth does Neil Armstrong feel unqualified to be part of any dinner party? I mean, how does that man feel less than a bunch of artists or scientists? I mean, here is a man that's won the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the Congressional Space Medal of Honor, the Congressional Gold Medal, the NASA Distinguished Service Award, the NASA Exceptional Service Medal. He is famous all across the globe for what he has accomplished, and yet he still did not feel worthy. For some reason, he felt like his life just didn't measure up. See, that's the problem with comparison. The problem with comparison is it always makes you feel less than. Because no matter what you accomplish in your life, no matter how fortunate you feel, there's always someone out there that's done just a little bit more than you. That's why they say comparison is the end of contentment. It's the thief of joy. And why is it the thief of joy? It's the thief of joy because when you compare your life to someone else, you stop recognizing your own blessings and you start fixating on theirs. Look again at our scripture passage this morning. Look at how discontent Jacob became in his own life because he was fixated on the life of his brother. See, Jacob had so much to be thankful for. He had been blessed in so many ways. He was born into a good family. He had two parents that loved him and provided for him. Jacob was the grandson of Abraham, the son of Isaac. He wasn't born into poverty or slavery. No, he won the lottery at birth. And yet he still decided it wasn't enough. He still decided he wasn't satisfied. He said instead of being grateful for all his blessings, we're told Jacob felt like his life just didn't measure up. After all, Esau was the firstborn. He had things Jacob didn't have. He was a hunter. He was a man of the field. Esau had a birthright and a blessing, and Jacob hated him for it. Instead of appreciating the beauty of his own life, Jacob became so focused on the life of his brother. He was no longer content with his own blessing. Now Jacob wanted his brother's blessing as well. A preacher by the name of Andy Stanley says, whenever we engage in comparison, we are instantly transported to the land of Ur. Now, what's the land of Ur? Well, the land of Ur is the land of comparison, where you are told that in order to be blessed, you have to become better, prettier, richer, holier, faster, stronger, smarter. Ur is a prison from which it is impossible to escape. Because no matter how much you change, there is always another comparison out there waiting to steal your joy. And let's be honest, they're not real. Those comparisons you've been making, let's be honest, they are not real. You've been comparing someone else's best days with your worst. You've been comparing their Instagram feed with your biggest mistakes. No wonder we end up so discontent. We spent our entire life trying to be someone else, but God doesn't need you to be someone else. Instead, God needs you to be you. See, the story goes, even before Jacob was born, God had already told Rebekah, his mother, that Jacob would be loved and that he would be blessed. God didn't say Jacob needed to be better or kinder or wealthier or any Ur to experience this blessing, this favor. God didn't say that he needed to change in order to be beloved. Instead, God said he was already fearfully and wonderfully made. He didn't need someone else's birthright. Jacob had his own. He didn't need someone else's blessing. He had his own. Jacob spent his entire life trying to be more like his brother Esau, only to realize in the end that Esau was not who he was called to be. Yes, God needs you to be you. He needs you to get rid of all those comparisons you've been making for too long and to free yourself from that land of Ur. So what if you're not an astronaut or an author or an Instagram influencer? Maybe that's not who God is calling you to be. Maybe that's not where your blessing is found. Don't forget, God made you unique for a reason. There's literally no one else on earth that has your unique combination of gifts and graces and responsibilities. And unless you say yes to who it is God is calling you to be, you say yes to the calling God has given you and only you, well, no one else will. So stop the comparison. Stop loving someone else's life and instead start living your own because you were fearfully and wonderfully made. With all of your rough edges, all of your perfect imperfections, God says your life is beautiful right now exactly as it is. You were loved the very first moment you came into this world and you will be loved until the very end. I'll close with a story. Happened several years ago, right after Carolyn and I got married. Carolyn was traveling for work one day when she was aboard a plane and struck up a conversation to the man seated next to her. The two of them exchanged the normal pleasantries of air travel. Where are you from? Where are you traveling to? How's your trip going so far? The man asked Carolyn if she had any kids, and she said no, and she asked him the same question, and he said, well, yes, that he and his wife actually had quite a large family. She said, oh, really? Well, how many kids do you have? The man paused for a moment. He said, well, my wife and I, we have 20 children. 20? She thought to herself, that is a lot of children. The man pulled out a photo. He said, you know, sometimes it takes families years to adopt just one child, but we didn't have that problem at all. Instead, we just told the agency that we were willing to take whatever kids they couldn't find homes for, It didn't matter their disability, didn't matter what their background was or what challenges they would face in this life. We said if they needed a good family, just to call us and that they would have one here. So every few years, the agency calls and says they have another kid that needs someone to love them, and we bring them in. That, he said, is how you end up with 20 kids. But to my wife and I, they are all perfect. As Carolyn told me the story, I thought to myself, now that is an amazing father. I mean, to have so many children and to love them all the same, to not to compare them to one another, that man must be a saint. I mean, well, let me ask you, wouldn't you want to be part of a family like that? Well, look around, Jesus says. Because you are. Yes, fearfully and wonderfully made, and God needs you to be you. Thanks be to God. And amen. Will you pray with me? For the gift of life, O Lord, and the gift of breath, and the gift of our very selves, we give you thanks. God, let us never forget your goodness in our life. Amen.